The particular challenge of this sermon today is to get to the point eventually and not get stuck in the weeds, so to speak. Actually, stuck in the weeds is an inside joke to myself because I've already started to talk with you about fishing, which is my intention to talk about fishing and still get to a point, and there is one, I promise. So very early in life with my family in Springfield, Massachusetts, I learned how to fish, and I loved it. When I was 16 years old, my parents bought a small cottage on a lake outside of town. The state would come in the spring and release more trout in it. It was like manna from heaven. And then during my schooling in Rhode Island, I had a summer job on Martha's Vineyard where I would surf cast from shore and fish the rock-banked channels that give access to inland saltwater ponds and harbors. So here's a fish story. In 1975, Jaws, the movie, was filmed on Martha's Vineyard, and I was there. Now, if you remember the scene where the big fish comes into the channel dangerously close to Chief Brody's little boy floating out there, and then the shark attacks the man in the dinghy, and Well, when all that wasn't happening, that was my favorite place to fish for striped bass, that channel. Bluefish and tautog or blackfish, marvelous creatures these fish are. But I digress. It's the lake that becomes sanctuary for me from the tumultuous 1960s on. It remained so until my mother died in 2016 and her beloved cottage had to be sold. Every living Lamontane now lives below the Mason-Dixon line. There just wasn't someone willing and able to get up there and maintain the property. As you can imagine, many memories were made in and around the lake over the years, but what I cherish as much, if not even more, was the fishing. An old wooden rowboat came with the cottage when it was bought. It was so heavy and cumbersome, we called it the Ark. We eventually progressed to an aluminum job with a 5-horsepower motor, which was perfect for fishing this small lake. In that boat, I practiced and darn near perfected the art of catching smallmouth bass. I could catch them in the morning, in the evening, in those traditional times of fishing, but I could go out in the middle of the day and find them too. But it didn't take long for me to realize that I don't like the taste of freshwater bass, so I would catch and release them, reel them in, only to then let them go. I loved everything about being on the water, the sights, the sounds, the feel of a breeze, but it was the fish that delighted me. On reflection, I come to appreciate fishing as kind of a mystical experience. You are above the water and enjoy all of creation around you, but your line with hook and bait visibly goes into the deep, a mostly invisible domain below the surface. If you're good or a little lucky, you could catch a fish and bring it up from its world into yours. Being careful to hold and unhook the fish without damaging its mouth or flesh I would briefly admire this living, breathing creation of God in my hands. It was an awesome moment of divine connection. Eventually, as I would move around the country in ministry, I was lucky to get to the lake once a year. And it became a kind of reunion. When I would catch one of the fish, I would imagine that I had seen it before, because they did seem bigger from year to year. And I'd share that with them. Something like, "My, how you've grown. You look so good. It's so good to see you again. Godspeed." Fishing is a unique experience of creation. If you've done it, you likely know of what I speak. When the sea, when God gives a fish up for consumption or even for sport, if you don't have an attitude of gratitude in that, you're missing what life is about. Fish are treasures buried deep, brought forth to bless the lives of those fortunate enough to enjoy them. But the point isn't really about fish, is it? It's about people, the ones Jesus is about in the gospel. After the miracle in the story today, the abundance of fish caught, Jesus tells the disciples, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. In a recent commentary on the gospel, according to Luke, by author Robert Deffenbaugh, he makes a case for what he calls a progressive calling of the disciples. He recounts how when Jesus calls the four working fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, first they begin to follow Jesus without quitting their day jobs. They're bivocational, if you will. In ministry with Jesus, they moonlight as fishermen. When Jesus gives them that miraculously abundant catch of fish, then they bring their boats to shore and, leaving everything, follow him. And here finally is the point. In the light of the gospel, lovely as are the fish that I so learned to love and appreciate as part of God's creation, how lovely do you think we, the people, are in God's eyes? And the key to the question, I believe, is in the spirit of catch and release. The bait is the gospel. And as we take it in through word and sacraments, we're drawn to God, who delights in us coming into the divine presence. But the true mystery of faith is in the release. Far from letting us go, it is freedom that we gain when we are caught in the apostles' nets, those ordained by Christ to yield an incredible harvest. When Jesus catches you, you are freed from sin and marked as Christ's own forever. And we're released back into our domain to do exactly as Jesus does, catch and release people into the freedom of faithful service and discipleship, always called, never humanly dominated, never enslaved religiously or otherwise, never owned but in Christ's love. The abundance has already come. The abundance of sweet freedom. We have it. In the progression to ever more faithful discipleship, the time to go all in with Jesus Christ is upon us. And I'm going to echo Kate's recent call to you, the call of Christ to follow him, by finding a small group of fellow disciples to join in the spirit and practice of the Restoration Project. You know Kate will help you. I will help you. Joe Kinkart, Megan Cochran, Susan Rucker, Susan Woods, to name a few, will also provide guidance and speak to practical group experience with you. And there are more. Just ask. Jesus would not do it alone. Neither ought we to think we can. Take the bait and be made free again and again and again. And then fish on in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.